Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Palakzi Pharmaceuticals Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. From the senior management, we have with us today Mr. Ashish Maheshwari, Chairman and Managing Director, and Mr. Amol Mantri, Chief Financial Officer. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashish Maheshwari from Palakzi Pharmaceuticals Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening. A very warm welcome to the Palakzi Pharmaceuticals Limited's earnings conference call for the first quarter ended June 30, 2022. Our investor presentation is already uploaded on stock exchanges and our website for a ready reference. I'll take you through the presentation, starting by talking about the economy in general and the broad business highlights for Q1 FY23 of the company. As you all know, we are seeing a lot of changes in the macroeconomic scenarios over the past quarter domestically and internationally with a changing landscape. There seems to be some downsides to the growth story presently, but it will not impede scale in the longer term. Talking about India's pharmaceutical cumulative exports this quarter, it has witnessed a whopping growth of 22%, whereas imports went up by 47% in the same quarter. The exports of Made in India pharmaceutical product continue to touch new heights, with a 146% increase in exports in April-June 2022 over the same period in 2013. India currently occupies the fifth position in terms of pharma exports. In our existing and targeted frontier markets, on an aggregate, the GDP is of $400 billion, and pharma imports, are of $6 billion. The Central American countries broadly reported 2.6 billion of pharmaceutical imports. Guatemala is the biggest pharmaceutical market in Central America and expected to grow at 8.1% CAGR. Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras will remain dependent on generic drug imports, which benefits Indian pharma companies to tap the potential in pharmaceutical markets of these countries. Angola, which is the second largest oil producer in Africa, and all its pharmaceutical imports are regulated by the Ministry of Health, its government's National Health Development Plan, which is focused to promote increased use of generics and generic substitution in pharmacies. To summarize, I am pleased to inform our dear shareholders that in spite of the headwinds that we faced, Palakzi has been constantly able to deliver on top line and bottom line front quarters. Our revenues for this quarter stood at INR 83 crores, which has grown by 42% compared to the same period of the previous year. This was mainly driven on the back of strong volume from Latin American markets. We have also derived currency translation benefits in Angola. The gross margins for the quarter posted a record of 42%, which is a giant leap of 12.9%. The gross margins posted are intrinsically higher, especially for the value-added branded products, which is a clear roadmap for Palakzi. EBITDA for the quarter stood at INR 17 crores, which has grown by 36% on a year-on-year basis. Profit after tax stood at INR 14 crores, which is a 32% increase from the previous year in the same quarter. However, please note that these quarterly figures are not strictly comparable with the same period of last year due to the consolidation of Palakzi Healthcare LDA Angola, which became a wholly owned subsidiary of Palakzi Global DMCC with effect from 1st January 2022. Having said that, the record figures have performed well on the back of robust demand witnessed in the LATAM markets and increased contribution of branded products to 35% from the previous 30%. The product mix for our dosage forms has also increased to tablets and injectable from the previous year. Palakzi's operating cost structure, both people and organizational cost, has increased substantially with the entry into several new markets. This includes establishment and product issues and expenses in countries that are not contributing to sales at present. Going forward, as business scales up, we expect a positive contribution to revenue growth as well as geographical diversification. As indicated previously, we are making good progress on the planned EU GMP compliant manufacturing facility near Hyderabad. Production is expected to commence by March 2024, focusing on oral solid dosages and liquid injection formulations in Latin American markets, where we are rapidly gaining visibility. The estimated project investment of rupees 85 crores will be financed partly from internal accruals and a judicious mix of additional capital. With a seamless transition from outsourcing to manufacturing in existing geographies, we see a strong payback, apart from several strategic benefits, for the business from this segment. With that, I open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Archana Gudi from IDBI. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a very good set of numbers. I have two, three questions. First, starting with the quarterly numbers. So when there has been impressive growth in terms of gross margin expansion, the EBITDA margins are kind of subdued, by 100 bips on YY basis. You did mention that there has been incremental employee costs. But still, if you can just take us through line-by-line item and give us what kind of sustainable EBITDA margin we should expect going forward would be helpful.
EBITDA margins have seen probably a 1% up or down, but EBITDA margins we'll be seeing in this range only, because after the consolidation of Angola as a wholly owned subsidiary of Galaxy Pharmaceuticals, our expenses of Angola also being consolidated. So all the expenses of Angola also come into the ring, also come into our sales, and EBITDA margins slightly differ from 1% to 2%, but going forward, our EBITDA margins are going to remain in this range of around 19%.
Sure, sir. On slide number 21, you have mentioned that the focus will be on the ideal mix of branded and generic medicines going forward. So, once our plant will be operational in Hyderabad, how we should look at this mix going forward, and let's say as and when this branded percentage goes up, what kind of incremental margin improvement we should expect, 2 years or 3 years down the line?
Yeah, branded, we have grown our branded products from around 30% of total sales to 35% in the last financial year. And now our target is to take it slowly to around 47-48% in the next 3 years. From the EU GMP plant, we are going to select certain products which have the bandwidth to be branded well because of the efficacy and the quality that we're going to get from that plant. So after the EU GMP plant, we expect a higher mix of branded products. Over the next 2 years, we expect 45%, but after the EU GMP plant, we expect to go it around 60%. And we have seen in branded products, after deducting the expenses which go along with the branding element, margins go up by at least 10 to 12%. Apart from assured volumes.
Okay. So does that mean, 3 years down the line, there should be substantial push to our margins?
There will be a substantial push both because of the branded product segment going up and because of we having our manufacturing facility. We are right now doing contract manufacturing in various plants. So when we do it in our own facility, of course, whatever margins that we pay out today to our suppliers, we'll be capturing that economic interest also in our balance sheet.
Sure, sir. And maybe one last question from my end. So after putting 85 crore for this plant, what kind of asset turn we should expect, for FY25?
Asset turnover ratio we had calculated at 95, around 6.5 to 7, 6.5 times.
Sure, sir. Thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Sunny Agarwal from SBI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, basically two questions. What is our market share in the territory in which we are operating? Question number one. And question number two is, who are our competitors in all these markets and the new markets which we are trying to penetrate? Thank you.
Yeah, first, it is difficult for us to say what is our correct market share supported by data in Angola. But as per our records, as per what we see and as per our visibility and as per our market intelligence, we are in the top three in Angola. We can be number two or number three.
Okay.
In Dominican Republic, now there are various kinds of markets in Latin America. Latin America has a multinational branded market, which is a different market. It has a market for products which are manufactured locally, which is a different market. And it has a market for products sourced from geographies like India and China. So in this addressable market size that we call India and China, we are number two in all Latin American, in Dominican Republic and in Guatemala. And in Dominican Republic, as per market intelligence that we have now, we are the number one. In Guatemala, we are the number two in this addressable market size.
Okay. Okay. And sir, who are our key competitors, if you can name them?
In Africa, there is a company called Shalina, which is also from India, which is our key competitor. Then there is a company called Prince Pharma, which is also from India, which is our key competitor. In Latin markets, our key competitor is Caplin Point from India.
Okay. Understood. And sir, just a last question. Any regulatory risk we see in all these frontier market or emerging market, whatever we say? So right now the regulation is relatively lenient in all this territory. So any risk we see to our business in medium to long term? Thank you.
We don't see any regulatory risk going forward because we are sourcing from the best WHO GMP certified plants, and we take a lot of care that all our certifications and validations of the plant always remain valid. And going forward with our own plant, which will be EU GMP compliant, we don't see any kind of risk in the regulatory aspects in Latin America or Africa.
Okay. Thank you, Anandita.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Avinash Gorakshekar from ProfitMart Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Ashish ji, congratulations on a very good set of numbers, very strong numbers. Just had a couple of questions. First is I wanted to know, you know, the revenue has increased significantly by 42%. So can you, you know, tell me what has been the volume increase, you know, because this value increase is 42%. But in terms of volume, you know, quantity-wise, could you give us some idea what has been the kind of volume growth?
See, this 42% growth, as I had already told in my opening remarks, is not strictly comparable to the previous quarter because from 1st January 2022, Angola has been consolidated with Galaxy Pharmaceuticals Limited because it has become a wholly owned subsidiary. So the sales that you see here are sales added from Angola also. Till now, only what was billed from here to Angola was being shown in the consolidated results. Now the sales in Angola are being shown, which are at a much higher number. So that is why the sales are not strictly comparable with the figures. Coming to your second point about volume growth, in LATAM, volume growth, I'll ask Pranav.
Yes.
In terms of volume growth in LATAM in this quarter, I think it has been around 40-45%. Can you confirm that?
Yes, we've done around 50% growth in volume in DR and Guatemala this quarter.
30% growth.
Okay. By volume around 45-50%.
30% volume growth. Okay.
Ashish, another question I wanted to understand. In your opening remarks, you said the gross margin has been aided by cross-currency translation. So, you know, typically, can we expect this to continue in the coming quarters also, or will there be any moderation here going ahead?
No, we have seen over the past several years that the Indian rupee generally depreciates against the US dollar. And with our experience, whatever we have, we can say that around 1.8% of the revenue, 1.2% of the revenue, we always see in exchange rate profits. Am I right, Amol? Yeah. We generally see 1.8%, 2% in exchange rate profits. this particular quarter, we have seen extra exchange rate profits coming in from Angola, because surprisingly, when the entire world's currencies are being devalued against the dollar, the Angolan kwanza appreciated against the dollar. So this year is a little particular. This quarter is a little higher than normal because of that. But going forward, we don't see this happening very often in Angola. But India, as I told you, it happens every year.
Okay. Okay. Ashish ji, one question which I wanted to ask, which is related to, you know, one of the participants earlier, that the new you know, facility which company is putting up is going to involve a capital expenditure of 85 crores. Yeah. I wanted to understand, is this amount going to be fully invested this year, or will it be you know, distributed in FY23 and FY24? If you could get the lineup of the capex schedule, you know, if you could
it help. Will be distributed. We are starting the work. All the designs are being fully finalized now, and we're starting work in September. We're working very hard on the designing part. So it will be distributed from September 2022 to up till March 2024, over a period of this 18 months.
Okay. So can we assume that about 25-30 crores of capex will be coming this year? I mean, very, very conservatively.
Yeah, at least 30 crore rupees, because we will be releasing advances and all for machineries also in this financial year. So I see around 30 crores in this financial year, and on the balance of next financial year. 35 crores, in fact, 5 crores have already gone in. So 30 crores will go in further capex in this financial year, and the balance of 55 crores will go into the next financial year.
Yes, my last, Ashiji, is that in the, on the Latin American markets, you know, since you said volume growth has also been very strong, value growth has been very strong. So in general, you know, how do you see the picture for the next 12 months? Like, you know, what is your kind of reaction and observation on the state of the markets? Like, do you expect this kind of healthy growth to continue and get reflected in FY23 also? If you could share some idea.
Yes. Latin American markets, we are guided by the number of registrations that we keep receiving for our various products. So to give you and this year, this entire year, we are expecting at least a 40-42% growth in revenue from Latin America. It can be higher also. And just to give reference to that context, in the entire last financial year, we got product registrations of 82 products in LATAM. And this year, in the very first quarter itself, we received 42 products. So as and when we keep receiving more products, not only do we get additional revenue from these products, but then more and more wholesalers get into our chain because looking at a number of products, and other products also sell on a higher range.
Okay. Fine. Ashish ji, thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Alisha Mahawal from InVision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Thank you
good
for
evening.
Taking my question. So, while you did mention to an earlier participant that the volume growth YOY, can you also tell us what was the volume growth Q1Q, Q4 of last year versus this year?
Q4 of last year versus this year. We have not worked that out here, Alisha.
Okay.
We have not worked that out. We can work it out and let you know. Amon, please work that out.
Yes.
Because the revenue is largely flat, I just wanted to know if there's been a volume growth Q1Q.
We'll let you know. We'll definitely let you know. We can take your email ID from Ad Factors and we'll send an email to you tomorrow with the number.
Sure. Also, you were mentioning that the Forex translation gain in this quarter has been slightly higher. Is it possible for you to quantify that number?
Amol, I think the CFO will take this question.
Okay. So this quarter, the Forex gain totaled to around 3 crore 28 lakhs.
And this is part of the other income, right?
Yes.
And just one more clarification, the margins of 19% that we're targeting to maintain, this calculation includes other income?
Yes.
Plus other income. Okay.
Yes.
So, and you were mentioning in the opening commentary that there is obviously some upfronting of cost because of new registrations in newer geographies. Which new geographies are we targeting?
We are targeting El Salvador, Honduras, Nicaragua. These are the three geographies which we are working very actively in terms of product registrations and making our ongoing infrastructure. And going forward, we have registered our company in Ecuador and we are registering the company in Chile. These are the 5 or 6 new markets which we are getting into. And even in Guatemala, we are increasing on the number of products that are we are getting registered.
And of the 5-6 markets, are we expecting any of these to start contribution this year, or post the registrations and approval, it will be more like in 1 or 2 years?
El Salvador and Honduras, we have already started operations in a very small way, and a lot of goods are in transit. We expect good traction in El Salvador and Honduras in starting from around November, December. So we will see very good traction in Q4 of this year in El Salvador and Honduras.
And just one last question. The EU GMP plan that we're talking about, which we're saying is going to be through internal accruals and additional capital, are we talking about debt or any form of fundraise?
We are contemplating both of them, some debt and some fundraise, but we have not yet finalized it. We will finalize it in this month.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Anand Venugopal from PMSPL Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I had a question, like how will we see the broad market share evolving in the medium to long-term period in percentage terms?
Market share in percentage terms, as I earlier said, is a little difficult to find out from data because the Latin American market as such has various markets within them. There is a market for MNC branded products. There is a market for Latin American made products. Then there is a market for companies like us, which are getting products manufactured from India and China. So our addressable markets is this particular products which are being made in India and China. So we don't have specific data on what is being imported. But as per market intelligence and what we see in the market and the volumes that we see in the market, we can say that we are probably number one now in Dominican Republic and number two in Guatemala in this particular addressable market size.
So will the frontier market exposure be reduced in the longer term as the focus gradually shifts towards the gradual?
You're not clear. Can you please speak a little louder?
So will the frontier market exposure be reduced in the longer term as the focus shifts towards regulated market?
No, our focus will be on the frontier market for the next 4 to 5 years to come. Reason being, there's a lot of headroom there for us for growth. So we are not looking at shifting our focus from these markets to the regulated markets of Europe or North America. We will focus on frontier markets for the next 5 years at least.
So just last one follow-up question. What is Balaxy's market selection process as such?
What is Balaxy's?
Market selection process.
See, we look into the GDP per capita of a country. We look at the regulatory process of a country. We look at the other other barriers to entry. And the more the barriers to entry, the more we like that kind of a market and select that market.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Yogesh from Arihant Capital Markets Limited. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Sir, I had one question. So it's like in Q1 FY23, Angola was about 60% and Latin America was about approximately 40%. But since you told that you are focusing on the Latin American markets and the new plant will also come, so can we expect Latin America overtaking Angola in the next 2-3 years?
Yes, of course. We are targeting that Latin America must contribute 65% and Angola must come down to 30-35%. Angola, that's our thing, even with the increased volume in sales.
And sir, what would be the margin differential between Latin America markets and African markets like Angola? Is the margin higher in Latin America compared to Angola and those?
The gross margin is higher in Angola, but having said that, the expenses are also very high in Angola, so the net profits are not as good as Latin America.
So at EBITDA level, Latin American markets are more lucrative than...
Yes.
And the differential would be like the difference between Angola and Latin America at EBITDA level it would be like 3-4% margin difference?
A little higher than that.
Okay. And sir, if I had joined late, so any guidance for revenue and EBITDA for if I look at 3 to 5 years for the company?
In FY25, Amol, what are we projecting at the top line internally?
One second. FY25, the top line is around 564.
Around 550 crores of top line is what we are projecting in FY25.
And margins would be in the same range, operating margins?
In the same range.
And lastly, on the Latin American market, if you can share the what is the competitive landscape in Latin America? Is there tough competition or no pricing? Prices are increasing or there's pressure on pricing and volumes? If you can share any regulatory action.
Being a semi-regulated market, it is not easy for anyone to enter those markets, especially with our business model where we have more than 100 products registered and we have stocks on the ground. So it is a good, healthy market. It does not have pricing pressure, and we don't have pricing pressures because of our large number of products that we have and the on-ground availability that we have for our products. We don't see any pricing pressures. In fact, during this COVID years, when the freight rates increased by nearly 300 to 400%, and all raw material prices increased by 20-25%, we were able to pass on the entire freight and raw material prices increases to the final customers.
Okay, so there is not much of pricing pressure like we have in US and other regulated
markets. No. This is a very different model that we work on. Companies that work in the US and the Europe from India work on a different model. They are mostly in the contract manufacturing model. But we are selling, we don't do contract manufacturing. We are the brand. We get contract manufacturing done, and then we take our products, we stock them on the ground there, and then we sell them to, through various channels. So it's a very different business model from what happens from India to US and Europe.
Sure, sir. That is helpful. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Keshav from Roxanne Investors. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir. Sir, what percentage of our sourcing currently is from China?
China, our sourcing is majorly from India right now. Around 30% comes from China, or a little less than that.
Okay, so the manufacturing facility that we would be putting up would be a formulation facility, right?
Yeah, it is a formulation facility.
Okay, so, sir, are we not exposed to ROC risk then with manufacturing in-house?
No, we are not, because we have to keep in mind that from wherever we are buying right now, they have to keep their own margins. They keep their own margins and then sell the product to us. So all those margins we will be saving, and we have calculated the margins that we are giving out are definitely much more than what the OPEX we will be having here.
So, sir, sustainably so, because we will then be exposed to the working capital value chain of formulation, and that adds many other variables, I'm sure, would be quite new to us from a manufacturing point of view.
Yeah, there can be new variables. Now, there are two dimensions to your question. One is that manufacturing itself can be all new process for the company. That is one. And secondly, I would like to say that this manufacturing is just not about backward integration and saving cost. This manufacturing is also about us differentiating ourselves in the Latin markets. Our competitors source their products from exactly the kind of manufacturers we go to, and the kind of packing we do, and the kind of tablets and capsules products we give. So this EU GMP compliant plant will be a differentiator not only in the quality of our product, the efficacy of the product, the presentation of the product. And those are markets which believe in UGMP certifications, and will there will be upside in pricing also for us once we establish ourselves there. It will take up to a year after we start manufacturing, that these products are coming from an EU-GMP certified plant. As far as manufacturing being a new activity for the company, we are quite confident that we can handle manufacturing. I have handled manufacturing in the initial 5 to 6 years of my life, and I know how it works. Having said that, we are keeping a very good ESOPs system in place to get the best technical people to run our plants.
All right, sir. Thank you. That's all for me.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Sachin Shetty, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, good evening and congratulations for good set of numbers.
Good evening, Sir Chen. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, sir. Sir, can you please give me a revenue breakup of quarter one? It's 83 crore. How much revenue is generated from LATAM market and Angola for African market? Is it possible, sir?
Yes. Amon?
Okay. So, Angola market, the total revenue was to the tune of 60 crores. And from the Latin market, the remaining 22 crores came from Latin market.
Okay. Thanks, sir. And sir, how big is this Latin market as far as opportunities concerned? Because Latin America market is more lucrative. Okay. So going forward, how much incremental revenue we can see in the Latin market for the next 3 years? As we have filed many dossiers for
minimum, we are going to see 40 to 45% minimum growth in revenue for the next 3 years.
It's from the LATAM market, most of
the LATAM market year on year, CAGR.
Okay, sir. So my last question is: so how is this process of the product nutrition? So my question is: this product nutrition conversion to the order book, how long it will take?
After we do the product registration, after we receive the product registration, it takes us around 2 to 2.5 months to get the product manufactured, and then it takes around 3 months for the product to reach there in transit time in the ocean. So it takes around 5.5 to 6 months before the first sale is made after we receive the product registration.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Chinmaya Garg from Drone Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to understand, when will this plant be functional? You said you will be starting CAPEX soon. When can we expect this plant to come on stream?
March 2024.
And the asset turn that you were talking about in a previous question, 6-7 times. How much time, in your opinion, would that take to be achieved? I understand it's an aspirational and that is an eventual target that the plant can achieve. But what is your vision there?
There we see 24-25 is the first year of the plant, and 25-26 is where we see that happening. If not in the exact financial year, the last 6 months of FY26 and the first 6 months of FY27.
All right. Okay. And I also want to understand the distribution in Latin American countries. So how would it work? Do you sell to, let's say, a distributor there? Do you have sell to retail pharmacies there? What is the distribution in those countries?
In Latin American countries, we are the distributors and we give it to various wholesalers.
Okay, and how does the working capital, how long is the working capital cycle there in that case?
Amol?
One second. Latin American working capital cycle is about 230 days.
Okay. And how long is it in Angola? I'm sorry, I don't have the numbers because the merger happened
In Angola, it's about 150 to 160 days.
Okay. So as Latin American proportion of sales increases, the balance sheet you'll require more and more working capital. So it should it will move towards 200 days, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And that is factoring in your own production, right? Production
yes.
from your own plant?
Yes. Production from our own plant, the capacities that we are setting up. The sales as of today, will take up one full shift of the production. Okay.
I see.
The way we are going in Latin America, in the next 3 years, we expect that then we can run two shifts on our own production.
I see. Okay. Understood. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Archana Gudi from IDBA. Please go ahead.
So thank you for follow-up opportunity. So can you give us some more color on our consumer product segment, how it is doing and what's the growth aspiration going forward in that segment?
Consumer products division had taken off well in FY21. But in FY22, it took a sort of a hit because of the very high freight cost. Freight cost, as everyone knows, went up by around 300% to 400% ocean freight cost. So it didn't do well in the last 6 months of the year because it was not very viable to ship it out at those prices. It was a low volume, low margin product. But it's again picked up, activity has picked up again from May this year. And going forward, we hope we will be growing well in this financial year. And after this financial year only, we can comment on how our growth pattern can be, as freights are not fully stabilized as yet.
Sure, sir. That was helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Once again, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question, the question comes from the line of Chirag Filoke from Ratna Tarya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, Ashish sir. Thank you so much for taking my question.
Good evening.
Just one follow-up question on, on the future margins. Once we have our manufacturing in place, could you broadly walk us through, how would that impact, again, very broadly, what you think would have an impact in terms of gross margin and on EBITDA margin? Just if you can just walk us through that, that's my only question. Thank you so much, sir.
So what we are, the manufacturing setup that we are doing now in the plant is what is called general oral solid dosages, which is tablets and capsules. What we're doing is a general block. We are not making a penicillin block, which is used for antibiotics, or we are not making a cephalosporin block. We are doing just general part of it. And we are only, the liquid injectable block will have only ampoules. Again, we will not have antibiotics and we will not have cephalosporins. Only these three dosage forms we are putting up, and that too for general. The entire basket of products that we have, there are around 8 dosage forms that we cater to. There are liquids, there are vials, there are dry powder for injections, there are suppositories, there are infusions, and there are ointments. So we're not setting up facilities for manufacturing of those. Those will still continue to be outsourced. So having said that, from what we are selling today, around 60% of our manufacturing will be done in-house. 40 to 45% will still be outsourced. On this 60-65%, we expect 8 to 10%, at least a 10% up in 8 to 10% increase in margins because of our own manufacturing, which may translate to 4 to 5% on a total revenue basis.
And just to clarify, these are EBITDA margins.
Yeah, we're talking about EBITDA margins.
Got it. And on a gross margin level, you believe that for this 60% that will be in-house, probably that impact is closer to 13-14% for that 60%, then again translated
yes,
over.
Yes. 10% plus at least.
Got it. No, thank you so much, sir. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Harsh Beria, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible right now?
Yeah, you are, Harsh.
Perfect. Sorry if my questions are a bit basic because I'm new to the company. Can you talk a little bit about your cost structure for your marketing unit in Latin American markets?
The cost structure for Latin America is quite lean compared to Angola. There, as I told you, we are the distributors, so we have a central warehouse. A very large central warehouse. We have two of them in Dominican Republic and one of them in Guatemala. And our staffing is around 4 expats in each country from India to manage everything, like from sales to administration to deliveries. And then we hire about 10 to 12 local for the semi-skilled kind of work. So the cost structure is quite low, and for the marketing and promotions that we do there, because right now in Guatemala we are doing some promotions, we have to do some promotions because we are establishing ourselves. So overall, Guatemala EBITDA looks a little lower right now because of those promotions. But it's not a very big number, which will, you know, it's a very lean kind of expenditure model in each country, when each country is seen as a geography.
Okay. All the products which... go on.
And right now, there are some expenses which are happening for the product registrations, which are also being written off, which will stop as we mature as a company and we have more and more product registrations in our hands. At some point of time, the product registration costs will also go down. We are not capitalizing those costs. Those costs are all being written off.
Okay. That's really good to hear. And when we say about marketing of our drugs, are they marketed to doctors or is it some other distribution channel?
No, it is not marketed to doctors. Doctors is what is called ethical promotion, which we plan to do, which we plan to start in Dominican Republic in the next 6 months, next 1 year or so. The promotions are generally, in the sense of we call it promotion, they give out some goods to distributors, some kind of freebies to distributors, some kind of gifts to consumers, some kind of flyers in retail chains, stores, some kind of advertisements and billboards, something like that.
Okay, and what is your network of wholesalers? Like, how many wholesalers does the company deal with in Latin and Angola?
I leave that for Pranav.
Yes. So, right now, Latin America, India, we're working with around 80 to 85 wholesalers and distributors. And in Guatemala, we're working with around 16 wholesalers and distributors. Now, this also includes some smaller retailers as well. And in Angola, you can...
1,000, I think. We would deal with 1,000 wholesalers in Angola.
Okay, so in Angola, then you are completely kind of a B2C company because you are directly dealing with the retailers.
Yes, yes. That's the difference in the business model in Angola and Latin America, and that's why the expenses in Latin America are high, because we have 17 wholesale depots all across the country in Angola.
Okay, and do you also have MRs in Angola, which might market to doctors?
No.
Okay.
No.
And are there any plans to have an MR network?
Not in Angola, as I said. It will happen in Dominican Republic in the next 1 year. We're working towards that. In Guatemala, it will happen after we set up our EU-GMP plant, because Guatemala, the doctors are very discretionary, and we plan to get into those markets. We still have a lot of headroom for growth in the markets that we are in Guatemala, so we'll cover all that, and after a new plant, we'll get into the ethical market in Guatemala, which is a 2.5-year process from now.
Okay. My next question is about your product range. How do you decide which products are to be sold in a given market? Do you decide it based on the market demand or what you guys have expertise
based on market demand.
Of sourcing?
Based on market demand.
Okay, so you have, so it's a customized product basket for each market?
Generally, yes. Around 80% of products remain the same across markets. It's only the 20% which vary a bit.
Okay. Thanks for that. And I was just looking at your website to try to understand if I can get previous conference transcripts. Are there previous conference call transcripts available for the company?
I will just get that checked and with our company secretary and get back to you on an email.
Yeah, I can send an email to the company secretary. That should be okay. And are they, my last question is, are there also other entities in the group which are not in the listed company?
No. After the consolidation of Angula, there are no more entities which are part of the Galaxy group which are not in the listed entity. Everything is consolidated under the listed entity.
Okay, perfect. That's it from my side. And thanks for taking my questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Once again, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Jitendra Upadhyay from Bonanza Portfolio. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yes.
Good evening, okay. Sir. Sir, my first question, what factors have contributed to your strong performance during Q1 FY23? And second one, and what would be incremental revenue from a new project?
The Q1 23 performance, as I have said in my opening remarks, is on the basis of strong demand from Latin American markets. The strong demand will continue because we have a lot of registration, product registrations in the pipeline. And as we receive more and more product registrations, our market penetration will increase. Not only will we get additional revenue from the new products, but revenue from other products will also increase as we get more wholesalers into our channel as our channel partners, because as the number of products grow, wholesalers get more confidence to get to buy the company's products. So this growth will continue over the next 3 years in LATAM. And from the project, this is a backward integration project, as I was mentioning, and one full shift of production we can do even with today's sales. By the time the plant comes up and is fully functional, when we are able to do two shifts, we'll be able to run both the shifts, we'll have enough demand ourselves. So this plant will give us revenues, definitely the revenue growth, but the revenue growth is one thing. It will give us more in terms of profitability and control over the quality of our products. And being EU GMP compliant, it will open us to approach other rest of world markets very easily.
One more question, sir. May I know your top 10 product contribute to overall top line?
That is something that keeps changing from season to season.
Okay.
So we can't put a fixed number on that.
And so how many product registration does during your quarter and last year?
Last whole financial year we received 82. There was some slowness due to COVID, but now it has picked up. In this first quarter itself, we have received 42 product registrations.
Okay, thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Harsh Peria, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity again. I would like to get a bit of more idea about your growth plans. So in your existing markets like Angola, what is the kind of growth rates that you guys are seeing?
In my
Ladies and gentlemen, the management line has been disconnected. Please be on hold while I quickly get them reconnected. Ladies and gentlemen, the management line is reconnected. Please go ahead, sir.
Years with our entire basket of products being there. We are coming back further and further of the country with 17 wholesale depots. So we will not see hyper growth there. We will go in line with the market at around low double digit numbers, 10 to 11%, you can say 8 to 9 to 10 to 11%. In Latin America, there's a total big headroom for growth, hyper growth in the next 3 to 4 years, which we will witness at more than 40 to 42% per year, year on year, CAGR.
Okay. That helps a lot. Another question of mine is about your EU GMP facility. Does it help us in any way to put up an EU GMP facility when we are not planning to sell in EU, per se?
Yes. It helps. It helps a lot because that will become the key differentiator between our product and our competitor's product. And we have witnessed in Dominican Republic and Guatemala that a EU GMP product is respected both by distributors, wholesalers, and retailers, and even the customers. So that will be a big differentiator between us and the competition and will give us longevity in the market. It will help us in entering the ethical market in Guatemala and other Latin American countries because the doctors there are very happy prescribing the EU GMP product. So that is the two reasons why we are going for EU GMP, and a EU GMP will help us very easily to enter into rest of world markets. And a dossier filed by EU GMP for product registration in Latin American countries finds favor with the Ministry of Health authorities there, and we expect that after the EU GMP, our product registration cycle will go down.
And the products which we are currently sourcing from China, are these also coming from EU GMP facilities or non-EU GMP?
No, from China we are mostly sourcing. From China, currently the products are all coming from WHO GMP only, not from EU GMP. China doesn't have many EU GMP facilities.
And your current sourcing from India, is it coming also from the non-EU GMP facilities?
Just some very sensitive antibiotic products are coming from an EU GMP facility. Rest are all coming from WHO GMP facility. 98% are from WHO GMP facilities.
Okay, that provides a lot of context. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, we have reached the end of the question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Maheshwari for closing comments.
Thank you one and all for the time, and I hope the company has been able to answer all the questions to satisfaction of all the queries. Thank you very much. I look forward to speaking to all of you again. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Palaxy Pharmaceuticals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.